Yathaninastāvara-jangramānam Atma-sarūpa-nanishta-iṣeṁ Evaṁ varo-bhāvaṁ vāsudevaṁ Śrī-tradya-atma-nanishta-iṣeṁ Chaitragya, disciplined is now to the body. Atma, all pervading, present everywhere. Purusha, the unrestricted controller, who has unlimited power. Purana, the origin. Sakshat, perceivable by hearing from the authorities, and by direct perception. Swayam, person, Jyoti, manifesting his bodily ways, the Brahman cultures. Ajja, never born, Adesha, the Supreme Krishna of the Godhead. Narayana, the resting place of all entities. Bhagavan, personality of Godhead, he sits for utterances. Vasudeva, the shelter of everything, manifested and non-manifested. Svamayaya, by his own potency. Atmani, in his own self, or in the ordinary human entities. Abhijyamana, existing as the controller. Yata, as much as. Anila, the air. Stavara, of non-living human entities. Jani Dhamaram, and of the moving human entities. Atma Sarupena, by his expansion as the Super Soul. Yunishta, enter. Ishe, controls. Avam, thus. Ara, transcendental. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality, Godhead. Vasudeva, the shelter of everything. Kshetrajna, known as Kshetrajna. Atma, the guiding force. Idam, this material world. Anupravishta, entered within. Translation. There are two types of Kshetrajna, the living entity, as explained above, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is explained as follows. He is the all-pervading cause of creation. He is full in himself and is not dependent on others. He is perceived by hearing and direct perception. He is self-effulgent and does not experience birth, death, old age, or disease. He is the controller of all the demigods. Beginning with Lord Brahma, he is called Narayana, and he is the shelter of all living entities after the annihilation of this material world. He is full of all opulences, and he is the resting place of everything material. He is therefore known as Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By his own potency, he is present within the hearts of all living entities. Just as the air of vital force is within the bodies of all beings, moving and non-moving, in this way, he controls the body. In his particular partial feature, the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters all bodies and controls them. Purport. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Sarvasya chaham devisam ishto matasmiti jnanam aham cha. Every living being is controlled by the Supreme Person, by the Supreme Living Being, Parama, who resides within everyone's heart. He is the Purusha avatar who creates this material world. The first Purusha avatar is Mahavishnu, and that Mahavishnu is the pranay portion of the pranay portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Krishna's first expansion is Balarama, and his next expansion is Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Anuruddha, and Pradyumna. Vasudeva is the original cause of Brahma Jyoti, and the Brahma Jyoti is the expansion of the maze of the body of Vasudeva. Yasya praha praha ko jadaranda koti ko tushvasesha vasudhati vipukta bhunda tad brahma nishkalananam tamasesha intam govinda vahatvushakta vahatvushakta. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is endowed with great power. The glowing effulgence of his transcendental form is the impersonal Brahman, which is absolute, complete, and unlimited, and which displays the varieties of countless plants, with their different populaces and millions of universes. Brahma Samhita 5:40. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is thus described in Bhagavad Gita. Maya tatvam iram sarvam jagat avyakta murtina tatstani sarvabhutani nacharam eshva vastita. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. This is the position of the coronary expansions of Krishna as the alternating vessel of Sankarsha, Krishna, and Adi-Eva. So here again, Srila Prabhupada is bringing up this point. Not having Chakta Vyuha, they're expanding and taking care of everything. And these various aspects. So Vasudeva is overall, everything is there, everything's in Vasudeva. So these other aspects of Mahavishnu, Radha-Vatsha Vishnu, Kira-Vatsha Vishnu, these are the aspects of Sankarsha and Prajumna Adi-Buddha. But all those functions together, and the reason for those functions, that's Vasudeva. So here, then, what was being brought out is that the living entity is caught up in the material world because of the mind being either transcendental or material, depending upon what it's connected with. Things of the Lord, transcendental, doesn't, material. That is the singular point on why we're here. It's not something else. All the other things, lust, anger, greed, envy, attachment, all these things come from the mind. These are transformations of the mind. So if the mind is centered on Krishna, then there's no problem. The mind's not centered on Krishna, there can only be problem. That's the point that you could say purpose of this chapter is pointing out is what is the knowledge of an experienced person. Because the king, who is, you know, has been stated, is good in his, he's trained, he's good, he knows his field. He's a good king. And he's knowledgeable of the scriptures. But when he's speaking and trying to give direction to Jarabharat, then he's speaking as if he's in authority. And Jarabharat is pointing out, you're speaking as if you're experienced, but you're not experienced. Right? Because experienced is more than some material arrangement. Right? He's saying that unless you understand the soul and the super soul and their relationship and how the soul is conditioned by not connecting with the super soul and how the super soul is controlling everything, that's experience. If you're not discussing that, it doesn't matter how intelligent you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what your position, you're still inexperienced. This is the position. So before this, these things have been discussed. This is fifth canto, so it's coming up again. But at this point, it's being pointed out that if you're not thinking in this way, seeing in this way, you are not experienced. Socially, one can establish oneself in so many ways, but one's not experienced. Because these other things, you can say, but one knows so much, one has so much exposure, one knows so many things, so therefore one's experienced. Yes, and then, when one dies, then, next lifetime, how much experience does the baby manifest? Right? You can't even figure out what to stick in its mouth or not. That's experienced. That's the result. So much mundane experience ends up as being a baby again in the next life. Right? As Sridhananda Maharaj mentioned, says, you know, you see a small, little, cute, innocent baby. I see an old man from the last life that he therefore didn't think of Krishna, now he's his baby. Right? So, the point is that's just what is going to get you. That wise old man became a baby. And not a baby in Gokula. Right? A baby here. Right? Gokula, okay. Like that. That's not so bad, right? Krishna's a baby there, Radharani's a baby, everybody's a baby, so that's fine. But here, not so good. Right? So, then the difficulty comes up is because we're not making this distinction. So that's what makes something intelligent. It's connection to the Lord. It's connected to the Lord. It's not just saying it's connected. It actually has to be. It has to be actually seen. That's why it said shakshat. That it's perceivable through hearing from the shastra, independent, and by direct perception. So when you can directly perceive what the Shastra is saying, that's experienced. That's what we should be endeavoring for. Otherwise, all these other things, very nice, important, useful, but not on the level of maturity. In other words, being expert at dealing with the material energy is not maturity. We take that as that's very adult. No, adolescents can do that very well. Whatever an adult can do, an adolescent can do as far as material skill goes. Right? One can say, no, no, they're so young. Who's winning the Olympic awards? Kids. Because the material skill, just that's all it needs. That's all the more it takes. If one doesn't see like this, Prabhupada calls it childish. Why? Because an 8-year-old can figure out that, you know, I do this, I get benefit. I do that, I don't. That's all the adults are doing. So they just know more fields of what you do and you don't get a good result. That's all. So the mentality of an 8-year-old, the skill of a, you know, 13, 14, 15-year-old, that's what the material world is offering. And that's it. You may say it's harsh, but what to do? This is the age of truth and openness and knowledge. This is truth, baby. You know, this is where it's at. You know, we have this idea that, no, with all this maturity, we're so good at this and good at that, material skills, that's why we're advanced. That's what the Acharyas said is the neophyte. The neophyte makes the mistake because I'm good at material skills, I'm advanced. It has nothing to do with advancement. Advancement is something very different. Prahlad Maharaj, he was advanced. He was only 5. Right? Pachina Bhani's shot, he wasn't advanced. Neither is here, King Rahugana. But they're all mature and very skilled. Emperors of the world we're talking about here, and immature. So this is what Jayabhar's bringing out. These direct points are brought out because if we only bring out the sweetness, the tendency is to not pay attention. Sahajiyas don't pay attention. The Sahajiya code is we don't need Shastra. That's actually one of their points. We don't need to read all these scriptures. It's all about the niceness, the sweetness, attraction to Krishna. We don't need to know philosophy. That's a Sahajiya. Right? Mayavadi, we only need philosophy. We don't need any rasa. Vaishnava is the balance of both. So here's one of the others. Because the Bhagavatam will give such sweetness, then such reality has to be pointed out so there's a proper balance. Otherwise, the tendency is we will take everything for granted. We'll just go along. But this is it's special. So therefore, those individuals who take this up, in other words, the Vaishnavas, the devotees, they're special. They're unique. Because otherwise here you have such a great personality on the material platform. You know, there's no one who would say that he's not a great personality. But he's inexperienced. Well, the Vaishnavas, now there's experience. Right? They know it's about Krishna. They know this is the Supreme. And amongst those who are experienced, then there's those who have more experience. Right? Yeah, perfect, more perfect, most perfect. So like that. So the neophyte is perfect. The Madhyama is more perfect. The Uttama is most perfect. So these elements then are there. So Sankarshan, he creates the situation in which we can function. So it means the whole material phenomena and that all the elements are separated. So you have something to work with, the 24 elements. That's done by Mahavishnu, who's Sankarshan. That's what he does. Pajunya, that means he creates the attraction, the mood, the spirit of material enjoyment. Right? We want to be attracted to the material world. So he enters it as a universal form. Right? So therefore we think things of this world are very attractive. That's because Pajunya. Otherwise it's dead matter. It wouldn't be attractive. Krishna makes it attractive. Right? Because we want it to be. And Aniruddha, then he sets a goal. If you're attracted to something, great. But unless you have a goal, you won't work. Right? And then that you'll work, that's controlled by Vasudeva. Right? So that's the ultimate point. So now, what work you will do That's under control of vasana. So you're going to do connected to Krishna, then you come closer to Krishna. You don't, then you get bound to the material world. Very simple. These four are always functional. So that's why there's an importance in the expansions of the Lord about the Vilas and Svamsa. So Vilas is going to be the Chaturvyuha. Svamsa is going to be all the other specific activities that the Lord performs. Right? The Purusha avatars, the Guna avatars, the Nandantara avatars, the Shakyamesha avatars, the Leela avatars, these are all Svamsa. Because they do a very specific thing. And then Vilas means that they deal with these fundamental underlying aspects by which everything else works. Therefore, there's a difference. So here is that we see is this Brahma Jyoti is pervading everything, coming from Vasudeva. And so that's why everything seems to be alive, is that pervasion of the Brahma Jyoti. So it's pointed out very clearly here, the Brahma Jyoti is full of qualities. This idea of nirvishesha, it's not a reality, it's not even an option. People make it an option, just like sense gratification, they make it that it's an option to be happy. It's not. So just like nirvishesha Brahman, they take it as an option. It's not. So therefore, the karma and the jnana aren't actually options for the jiva. So this is what's being pointed out here by Jadavara, is that you must know this. Knowing this, then you base everything else in your life, then it's successful. If you don't know this, then you're not sure how you know if what you're doing is successful. That's the basis. Any questions, comments, or comments? Yes. This is a good thing. Just hang it back. Okay. It's on the very, it's not on the side, it's on the very top. It's a little dinky little switch. Okay, so bhakti is your option. Then the other three are illusion. Yoga technically is part of karma. Because you're dealing with the physical body and everything like that. So it's an action that gives a reaction. But because it has a unique method, then at times it can be described as separate. Like that. But technically, it's part of karma, because all there is in the material is karma and jnana. But within karma, you have your general food of activities, and then you have the yoga process. But even you could say the jnana section, its purpose is by perform my activity, I will get the result of my liberation. So even it's fruitive. So technically, it does only fruit of action in the material world. It's just whether it's direct or indirect or about another alternative method. You know, that's how people say, you know, person is doing something very obviously materialistic. Now, the other piece from people who think that's materialistic, they do the same thing in a subtler way, and they think they're better. So that's the difference between the karmas and jnanas. So these options are there because the living entity wants an alternative to reality. The reality is that they're servants of the Lord. And so the jiva has taken the position that I am the controller and enjoyer, which is not a reality. And so, along with that illusion, the Lord then makes this material phenomena so that the living entity can try to develop that, you know, try to enjoy that, try to taste that. So, simply because of the material desire of the living entity. So then, since it's there, the material, the living entity does not know material. They only are in touch with the spiritual aspect, though not technically the devotional aspect. So they want the facilities of the spiritual world, but that I can enjoy it directly without its connection with the Lord. That's the material consciousness, that I want to enjoy the Lord's energy rather than engage the energy in the Lord's service. So that brings one. So the spiritual world isn't going to be very favorable to that, since I think it's conscious. So then the material world then doesn't mind, because it's dead matter. It really couldn't care less what you do with it. So living entities brought here, and then as previously explained, Vasudeva then creates all the 8,400,000 species and all the different situations of the 14 planets and hills and valleys and plains and oceans and the air and all these different things, so that the living entity can get a variety. It's not unlimited, but it's big enough to keep everyone busy, so that they are engaged in thinking that they're going to eternally taste happiness. And so doing that for a long time, and then by the Lord's grace getting the association of Vaishnavas, then they may understand that there is something more. Then at that time they will take up focusing on the spiritual, and then they'll come back to reality and give up the illusion. But in the meantime, you don't want them making trouble in the spiritual world, so therefore the material. Just like criminals don't move in regular society, they function in the prison. But the purpose of the prison is reformation, so they can go back into society. So it's the same thing. Is that making sense? So is that good? Yes, that's karma. Yoga, not karma. Yes. Yes. I mean, because the thing is you have words. It's like in any language. If I say cool, what do I mean? Am I talking about the weather? Am I talking about the guy's attitude? Understand? And it can be, but it can also even an attitude. Am I talking about that they're a little distant, or am I talking about that they're happening? You understand? So that's the whole point of Sanskrit. You have the same position. You have to know the context. Otherwise, then it gets lost. Sometimes the words get caught up in the word itself. No, the word says this, but the word has a lot of meanings. You know, so, you know, we've had devotees sometimes talk. So karma yoga means bhakti, and then in that, Prabhupada's defining that actually as naish karma, like that. Because sakam is a beginning stage, but technically it's not solid, because it can be functioning or not functioning. And so this element of not being stable has its material feature. The material world means nothing stable. So if it's stable, that's the spiritual feature. So nishta, or being fixed in devotional service, that's the spiritual feature. So then when one comes to that stage of karma yoga, that's then accepted. Now this is dynamic. So the Bhagavatam basically starts from there. The Gita explains that you start devotional service earlier than that. The Bhagavatam, but that's already been described by Gita. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, that combination, you know, that's bhuti yoga. You know, all these different aspects have been explained. But Bhagavatam doesn't start from that, because that's already been covered in the ABCs. Now it's dealing with, we're starting minimum at naish karma. And if it's below that, then Bhagavatam's not dealing with it. Then you go back to Gita, because it's already been explained there. Now it's giving, because pure devotional service is what the Bhagavatam's discussing in the examples. Right, so therefore, naish karma is the beginning of pure devotional service. Then when it comes to the position of bhava, that you could say is solid. Right? But until it comes to prema, then it's permanent, then it's real. So you have three levels of pure devotional service. So before that is technically preliminary. That's why the neophyte stage is not recommended. Therefore, those that profess it are making a major mistake and, as John Barr points out, are inexperienced. Yes. Honey root is the mind, so the goal is created, is there. It means that you, when you're talking about thinking, feeling, and willing. So thinking means you are contemplating it, but there's an inspiration, otherwise you wouldn't be thinking about it. So there has to be some aspect. Then aniruddha would be feeling, that this is what I want, I need. That's the point. It means you need it. Thinking means it's interesting. Just like you walk by down the street and you see something interesting in the window. You look at it, you think, oh, that'd be nice. You don't do anything. That's thinking. When you go, I need that, you walk into the store, and then there's really, you buy it. Like that. So the goal, that's aniruddha. Like that. So that's the prajumna is the intelligence, it contemplates. But it's still this intelligence with that flavor of interest. Just pure intelligence, that's shogunsha. So that's why these sections of the Bhagavatam, they're basically dealing with the shogunsha element. They're just straight facts, and that's why we find them a bit, may find them a bit stark or boring. You know, these are the sections that devotees don't like to read. You know, third canto, fifth canto, basically any canto except tenth canto. Like that. You know, when you get into the Mahabharata stories in the first canto, it's okay also. Yeah, so as long as the stories are in it, it's cool. As soon as you get into this, then. So that aspect is sankarsha, where it's just pure intelligence without the consideration of a desire or need in those things. That's why we find it very different than the other discussions. If the problem comes is that it's not there, then we will tend to discussing intelligence with prajumna, then we might make the mistake of not telling the difference between spiritual endeavor and material endeavor. So that's why sankarshan has to be brought out. Otherwise, then the problem is aniruddha, the goal will be missed. It won't be pure. And therefore, your action, the vasade, won't be pure. Like that. So. Yes. Get the mic thing. Jesus.
We're speaking about devotees like only the 10th canto and not the sections of the Bhagavatam, like the forest of material enjoyment that we're about ready to hear in these kind of sections.
Yes.
So these kinds of sections are my favorite sections.
Okay, that's cool.
The more, it seems to me, the more the reality, the stark reality of the material world is pulled back, the more comfortable I find it.
Yeah.
And I don't find the other sections. Krishna's answer as well. So my question is, what does that say?
Okay. Yeah, it just means then the focus is on more out of getting out of the material world than getting into the spiritual world. So it's a start, so it's good. But you should know that the taste for the Lord's qualities, his pastimes, his associates, dham, is important because that's what gets you into the spiritual world. Right? It means the having no interest in the material world, that will get you out. Right? So it's more, generally more of a, it's one of those, it's a position that you can take or not. Right? It means, in other words, there should be an understanding that the material is not important, but if you don't focus on it, but focus on this associate Krishna, it'll work. Because then you're just switching the mind from the aparata, I mean, to the, what is it? I can't remember the word to use, but the material to the spiritual, para. The other is that if the mind is too much absorbed, then one can use, and one has that inclination, then by intelligence you discriminate the two and then say, this is not good, that's better. But there has to be the element that being better, it also should be cultivated. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of that step. So generally speaking, the masculine principle, they go through those three stages. So in the material, then they go to the intellectual, then go to the spiritual. Right? Because there's material rasa, then they, through intelligence, get to spiritual rasa. Feminine nature is just generally to skip the middle and just go straight to the other, because it's a matter of rasa. So this has taste, but if it's shown, then that has taste, and that's superior taste. So why do you need to intellectualize about it? Like the Gopis, Vishnu said. Prabhupada says they're not great scholars, but what we see is they're not great scholars. When they do come here, and don't know and understand what he's saying. Jiva Goswami being an example. But the point is that's not why Krishna is important. It's not because the material world is not good in this way, therefore you take up the alternative. It's just that this is better. So they know the technical, but it's not the focus like that. So it doesn't matter either way. But as long as it's understood that there's a difference between matter and spirit, that's the beginning of reality. And then how you get there, either by directly absorbing yourself in spirit or the technical points. In other words, with Krishna, you have Brahman, you have Paramatma, you have Bhagavan. So if you can absorb yourself in Bhagavan directly, then great. But if we find that there's considerations in the material existence, then the Brahman element of how Krishna pervades everything, creates, it's temporariness, all these things, Paramatma, then what's correct to do, not correct to do in these aspects, then it's the natural stepping stone. You see, is when the acharyas start speaking, they always start from this platform, Brahman and Paramatma. So this being an example here, Jarabhart's doing that, Sukadeva Goswami starts doing that, Markandeya does that. Okay, whenever they start from there, and then bring it to Bhagavan. Right, just to make sure that there's no material attractions that are left that are unaddressed before getting to Bhagavan. Right, so you can either start with Bhagavan, and because he's so attractive, then you start to lose interest, so then that makes sense to you, and then you go back and forth. Or you can start with understanding that this is not real, that the Supreme Lord is real, and then having cleared everything come to that. It doesn't matter. The main point is to get there. Okay? No, because sahajya means is that there is no study of scripture. So if you have that, yes. But the point is that devotees study scripture. But it's not necessarily that the technical points are their impetus like that. Sahajyas don't even bother studying. They just, cultivate their emotional expression. Either directly they naturally cry, or they have children so they can put up their nose so they can cry. Something is there, So the other point is just to express external emotion, and then that's taken as devotion. So the devotees then both work. So in other words, they shouldn't dislike this, but it not necessarily the cause of their inspiration. Does that make sense? Okay. So it just depends on conditioning, basically. Okay. Yes. In fact.
Experience and direct perception, so how does that exactly work and unfold? That's not boring at all, it's very exciting. I would venture to say that nothing is skipped, that we do, a yogi meditates, or Karma Yogi performs activities and gives the results to the Lord. But even a devotee, a Bhakti Yogi, by his direct perception, I seem to think it will start at the platform of Brahman, not Brahman in the sense of impersonal Brahman, but understanding that you're not the body. The body is an empty cavity full of bones and all kinds of festival things. So there is a measured progression from Brahman realization, but at the same time, it's sort of compatible simultaneously with Bhakti. But we do go through those stages, understanding the not body. So, to get back to the question, direct perception, how does it work?
Okay. Direct perception means you're using the senses. So, and that means it's controlled by the mind. So
I'm not talking about that kind of direct. Pratyaksha Bhagavanya, that it's directly perceivable.
That's a
reflection.
So then the difference is it's just like, give an example. If we engage the senses with the sense objects without a consideration of transcendence, we call that sense gratification. If we engage the senses in the service of transcendence, we call that bhakti. So the mechanics look the same. This is another point. Those of you who are not up. It looks the same. Mechanics are the same. Material and spiritual mechanics are the same. The difference is in the attitude. And of course, the difference is in the quality of what you're working with. Right? Spiritual, you're working with superior energy, material, inferior energy. The main difference is the attitude. So the mechanics are the same. The what we call pratyaksha that we don't have much interest in is when you simply take the senses, look at the sense objects, and then from that derive information. And then if you put it together, see patterns, then we call it science. So that's basically not so useful. But when you start from shabda or authority, then as authority has explained it, you try to apply that into what you see. Then, when you can connect what you've heard to what you see, then that's what you're talking about. So that's what you're talking about. You should be able to see the reality that the Shastra are talking about. So that's Shastra Chakshu. You see through the eyes of Scripture. That makes sense.
Just regarding if to see pastimes versus the eye-opening philosophy in some of the other cantos, one thing I really noticed, there was a discussion earlier in the week as well about reading Srila Prabhupada's books versus reading the other books. Srila Prabhupada always seems to really put that eye-opening philosophy even in the midst of the very sweet pastimes. The first thing I ever read was Krishna book as a teenager, and there was an awful lot of eye-opening philosophy there. Even in the midst of the sweet pastime, so it seems like
in
that way you kind of get both.
Yes, you do get both. The thing is that sometimes the devotees don't notice there's both. That's the problem. See, it's the one thing they don't notice, it's another thing when they don't notice and profess it's not important. That's what I'm addressing. I'm addressing those devotees that profess the importance and viability that staying on the neophyte platform is a very strong position, and they make philosophies out of it, they create societies, they do all this kind of stuff. That's what we're talking about. So that's useless. Because the point is yes, we're neophytes, but we have to move beyond the neophyte platform. We have to move beyond the upadis. If we don't, then we're not actually going to be able to function on the spiritual platform. And you won't like the spiritual world because they don't function in that way. It's like the gopis are from Yada, but they don't really care. So they don't identify with the village. It's about being with Krishna. But by being in Yada, they're not in their own original places. It's easier to get away. If you're in your own house, everybody there knows you. And they know all the nuances about you. You get married, you go to another village, they don't know you, you're the daughter of them. Very easy to get away. like that. So even though it's definitely not a nice situation, it's a useful situation because it's used for Krishna's service. You know what I'm saying? But the point of the upadi, that we find, so these things of upadi and trying to establish that my upadis are fine, then that's a total waste of time. So that's what Jayapal's talking about here. It's inexperienced. Though very intelligent, very, you know, been around a lot, but it's very inexperienced. Right? Inexperienced is you don't know. Very inexperienced is you profess what you don't know. That's really bad. Does that make sense? That's why inactive foolish is better than active foolish.
Jinnah and all the Vasa that is in Kashi, but in the relationship between man and female.
Means all of them are always functioning, but the importance is the man, it means you have the Atmarama position, which is basically, you can say, an exclusively a masculine position of just Sankarshan. Prajumna Aniruddha Vasudev, that functions well because it's rasa, that means you've expanded. There is the element of interacting with the creation. Existence as Sankarshan. Then interacting with the creation, that's Prajumna Aniruddha Vasudev. But it's going to happen in the situation of existence. So it's not that it's not there, it's just not the focus. You know what I'm saying? In other words, the place, it's not about the place, it's about what the place can do. You know what I'm saying? Let's say there's a nice restaurant. Okay, the boy takes the girl to the nice restaurant. It adds to the environment, so it's Pajumna, right? But let's say that something didn't work out nicely in that restaurant before it's created some kind of trauma. Then taking that girl to that restaurant will not give you the result you want. Because it's not about the environment, it's about the experience you gain from the environment. Does that make sense? So that means the masculine principle, if they want to interact with the feminine, has to work within Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudev. If they simply stick within Sankarshan and say, well, that's stupid and that's not logical and stuff like that, then the relationship won't work. Like that. And we have billions of examples. Right? So the whole point is the distinction is the feminine works within the three because they're creation. Krishna, he's the Atmarama, he's separate. So the masculine principle can function in one or the other. Right? But that's the point. If it can function in Atmarama but is functioning in within Rasa, that gains the respect of them. But if they use the Atmarama aspect or the Sankarshan aspect to bring the women into, a position of submission for their own purpose, then no woman ever respects any man for that. Because then it's why would you deal and not deal in the proper way? In other words, if you're going to work in the field, you have to use the rules of the field. You can't use the rules of, like let's say I'm playing cricket, I can't quote baseball rules and then say, well, this is, I can do this. It's a different game. So Atmarama, and the other three are different. One's rasa, one's tattva. Right? So it says rasa is based on tattva, just like the dham is baladev. Well, what goes on in the dham, that's the interaction. So the existence has to be there, but it's not the problem when it comes to rasa. Rasa has its own object. That makes sense. It's not a problem. As we mentioned before, However you get yourself to be fully absorbed in Krishna, it doesn't matter. If it's more because he's so attractive, or it's more because the material world is not attractive and he's supposed to be attractive, it doesn't matter. Because generally we'll use it in combination anyway, that everybody being unique, their particular modes and the balance of the mind and intelligence, ego, then they'll use it in their own way. That's why bhakti is so accommodating. It's the actual broad-minded. Liberal and conservative are narrow. They don't accommodate much. The Vaishnava, the broad, that can capture all of it. So all of that can work. So it doesn't matter. So don't worry. Just like, let's say, hey, you can just, for, as an example, let's say a Brahminical woman might be more analytical than a Shudra man. Right? But the Shudra man will be more analytical than the Shudra woman. But the Brahminical woman won't be as analytical as the Brahminical man. You know what I'm saying? So it's very relative. So that's why I don't worry about it. It's just a matter of whatever works for you, that's what you use. It has to be, the focus is on Krishna. Now, whether it's the tattva aspects, so like I know a devotee, his favorite parts of the Bhagavatam to read was the 11th canto. So it's the most technical. And then, you know, as a side dish, he would read Vedanta Sutra. Right, so that was for him was, you know, that was taste. You know, so the point is if it's about Krishna, it's perfect. Understand? Yes. Because the point is you're getting a taste from it, that's why you're doing it. Because you have to remember the jivas, we're shakti. We're gonna add the rasa anyway. It's just a matter of how much of the other is there. Yes, it means we're getting taste, but because the taste is philosophy connected to Krishna, that brings us forward, right? Because other philosophies don't have taste. Okay. So that's how it says. Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samadita Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Natal Gaurabhimanandi, Hari Hari Gaurabhimanandi.